Welcome to Wheel to Wheel, the premier Formula One podcast by two sweltering hot ladies who know medium to nothing about Formula One.
This scorching hot Grand Prix was a race to forget for Frenchman Pierre and Ocon, and likewise a race to forget for Charles, who was left in the wall after leading the Grand Prix and beginning the race on pole. I'm Zaylee.
And I'm Maya.
Lights out and away we go!
Whoop,
I don't know
whoop,
why that
whoop,
just gets
whoop.
Me in the mood. Like, I feel like it's a brain trigger at this point. Lights out and away we go. And
I
then
know.
I like, it's like I've primed at this point.
Even our intro, which I actually just now having read it or said it out loud, I was like, this is actually such a good intro.
I know. We're
like,
amazing.
I think it's totally like hits exactly our vibe.
Which is, so why haven't any unpaid interns reached out to us to work for us for free?
I don't know. And I hope that we're making you feel guilty if you're listening now and you are like, I should have messaged them. Yeah, you should have.
You should have messaged us.
To ask to work.
So what's on your mind?
In general?
Yeah, in general and then in racing. I don't know.
In general, nothing much. I started a new job-ish, which mm-hmm. Zaylee knows already. Maybe the folks at home don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing a lot of that this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's a heat wave in New York
mm-hmm.
and in Europe too, which is crazy. Segue maybe, but anyway, wait. Say first, how are you, Zaylee?
I'm good. Same old, same old. Haven't started a new job. Same job as always. Very overwhelming. Very crazy.
One thing I will say, funny story.
I think this is a funny story. Yesterday, I was at this thing, and I ran into this actor, and I thought I'd recognized him from my real life, but he was just like, I'm on TV. But I realized as I was like, sorry, I'm asking him, like, did you go to NYU? Like, why do we know each other? And he's just looking, like, first of all, when I asked him, I was like, I recognize you from somewhere, right? And he was just like, thank you. And I was just like, right. It should have clicked
yeah.
for me then that, like, if it's a compliment for him, that means like he's saying like, thank you for the attention, I guess. But I was just like, oh, what mm-hmm. a weird response. But I was so sure that I went to NYU with him. Like, he also looked, I think, like someone who went to NYU. And once he said his name was I was just like, oh my God, I like fully knew like five NYU kids named So then I was just like, so you went to NYU? And then I realized that it might have seemed like I was trying to start a conversation with a celebrity in a really inappropriate
yeah.
way. Which is just
yeah.
annoying.
I think they have their guards up in lots of ways, and I understand why. But
yeah.
it also, I think, can really color the conversation in a weird way where you
yeah.
feel like you're just being like genuine. Like, did you go to NYU? And he's like, this girl is trying to talk to me, but like
literally.
Trying to be low.
Literally.
At the same time.
Literally. Let's get into the headlines. Sorry.
Let's get into the headlines.
Yeah.
Here's one headline that I thought was interesting.
What?
From Mattia Binotto. He does not think... He said this like last weekend. He does not think that Ferrari is in a position where they can prioritize one driver over another. And he said, I quote, the fastest car on the track is the one which is prioritized. We believe by doing so, certainly at this time of the championship, it is the best thing to do. And so this is just in response to people critiquing the team strategy and like all of these other things, like putting Charles in situations where he is not, you know, competing at his best.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? I just feel like that's crazy to say that they can't prioritize Charles when he is more ahead. I mean, it's definitely a different
reality,
way of running a team.
If reliability is going to be such a huge concern, then I feel like there is an element of randomness that they're contending with separate from how fast Charles is. Which is just
I
like
I don't understand what that sentence means. What do you mean by that?
I guess I'm saying like if any car can go out at any moment and
mm-hmm.
the luck of the draw at the beginning of the season was Carlos, but now it seems to be Charles like three times in a row, then I agree with him in that like if we start to prioritize Charles and like the reliability randomness factor just falls in his
yes.
favor and like Carlos could have been ahead and we didn't prioritize him, like I feel like in that way about just like where the team is in terms of how reliable their engines are and cars are, like maybe that's why they're not in a position to prioritize.
You're right, because if they consistently prioritize Charles and like Charles was running at the rate that he is, which is like every other race not working.
Yeah.
Actually, this is so interesting. They're in a very unique position as a team because on either side for both Carlos and for Charles, it's like they're both so spotty that it is hard to like build. It is kind of hard to build a strategy for them because yeah. It's like every other person is like not finishing. So it's like, how do you, you can't. That's why mm-hmm. they have plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. They literally need every plan.
At some point in the race, one of the commentators was like, usually at this point, they'd be on plan D right now. Pretty cool that they're on B. Like, B, there was like B and Bravo. Yeah, pretty good for a good day for Ferrari that they're only on plan B.
Yeah.
But they got to D in this race eventually, which mm-hmm. I was like, oops, spoke too soon. Already on plan D.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Next headline.
They're in a really unique situation. Oh, but also, isn't that tea? Yeah, next headline. But also, it's kind of tea that that's still like almost the second best team on the grid. And this is like what's happening, like what's going on with the like their reliability. I think mean, other teams are like
getting closer together. You're making me want to look at the standings and just see the points. Because yeah. at this point, like they're if Ferrari's ahead, they're definitely not in the lead that they were.
Like, no, in the beginning.
Yeah. My God. I know that everyone in Ferrari is like, we were so close, and now the same. It's like teams never change at the end of the day. Like,
we'll talk about this later. Okay, my next headline. Nick DeVries replaced Lewis Hamilton in free practice one at this week's French Grand Prix, which I thought was really cool. So apparently there's a new mandatory rookie session for Mercedes. So like, a rookie Mercedes has to have the chance at least twice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gives a chance like in two FP1 sessions to like test out the car. Mm-hmm. In this occasion, Hamilton was sort of like coaching Nick while he was in the car, which I'm sure was very cool. One thing that Toto said, I think when they use rookies on their team a lot, people are like, there's rumors, like, are they making a way for Nick to join the team? And he's like, mm-hmm. no. He's like, if we can't give him a very consistent or, like, very clear plan for the future, I think we need to let him go as a rookie on our team, which I thought was kind of deep.
Whoa, that is kind of
deep. Because there's just, right?
Yeah, oh my God, everyone's future in F1 is so shaky, but I feel like that speaks to the fact that Hamilton plans to come back next year. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it alludes to for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Which, how long are they going to keep it? This was his 300th race start.
I know.
And apparently, fun fact, did you hear that fun fact about no one's ever won a race after 300 race starts? Like, it's the curse.
No.
That you don't win a race again. So Hamilton is now, Alonso's in that club. Yeah, I know. Hamilton's now in that club. It's like, does he want to tempt fate in the F1 gods by like being an old guy on track, which he always said he wouldn't do, but the vibe is that he will be. I don't know.
The way that they're getting a hang of this car this season, I feel like he could have a win this season, but a lot of people would have to, maybe not a lot, but like I think there could have to be like some sort of safety car DNF situation.
Yeah,
but that'll for sure happen. So I feel like he'll win one this.
If he wins this, one, he'll have broken the curse.
He'll have broken the curse.
Another headline, please.
Another headline. This headline. This race.
Breaking generational curses. Literally,
he's Lewis. Literally, he's like, I'm breaking records. Breaking generational curses. He's so funny. This race, F1 introduced features to help fans feel safer at the French Grand Prix. This is in response to the last race where fans were really abusive and used horrible language. Mm-hmm. Basically, they had SOS assistance phone lines around the track that was operated by trained security guards and was kind of like encouraging fans to report abuse. They also had this like big screen flashing that said respect each other. I was like, okay, who cares?
But maybe I think they need to start doing the we race as one thing again so that people are reminded, like, we race as one, you know, we race to be
even
together.
Us fans.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But that was the headline, and I just thought it was
good on F1. I'm sure that it signals, I don't know how the human brain works, but I actually think that that's probably more effective than it sounds, low key.
You think?
I think so. I think that like equity or like, you know, justice and like just the reminder of like diversity and inclusion, the signs are around. I think it just changes the tone maybe a little bit. It's a family event. Yeah. I don't know.
I think you're right that it has a little bit more of a, it is clarifying for people who kind of like feel like they can come to F1 and do whatever they want. It's like to have a stance, I think, is better than to not have a stance.
Maya and I feel like we both work in production, or I was going to say like assisting, or like we both do administrative things. And like, I'm trying to imagine the headache that it would be to like a week before a race implement SOS phone lines all around the track because somebody lifted up someone's skirt at the last race. Like, I'm just thinking about the person who's in charge of that.
We're like, do we contact contractors to, we're going to build literally, the phone poles.
Who do we call for this? Like, fucking, literally, it's so much
work. Who do we call? That is the most relatable thing you have said, Zaylee.
Do we have a vendor who can someone like hook up some?
Yeah. Someone presents me with an issue at work and I'm like, who am I supposed to call to make said thing happen?
How many phones do there need to be? Like, literally, how many?
I know. Who's operating them? Who's on the other line?
And then they're like, work with press to put together a press release for this. And you're like, ugh.
Oh, my God. Then it's like a f***ing boardroom for it's like, what should the sign say that flashes?
You have a working group?
It has to
group?
Be something short. Can we all get on the Slack huddle right now and kind of figure out?
Are you guys available for a 15-minute chat just to discuss, like, where on the track these phones should be placed? I'm having, who's going to be there to collect the phones when the guy comes? The guy is showing up at 12. Who's going to be there to, like, take him to install the phone line?
Pain.
So much pain. Anyways, feel bad for
anyone who doesn't have to organize things. Like, I feel like I yeah
no fuck you, because life needs to be organized. So if you are not organizing things, someone else is probably doing it.
Yes,
thank you for that. Next headline.
Next headline. Yeah, there's another one. Nikita Mazepin won his first motorsport event since losing his F1 seat. He also like kind of has a buzz cut now. It's getting weird.
I know, he looks like a skinhead.
It looks,
I'm like not
very
happy with it.
Yeah. He entered this.
He's definitely leaning into like the Voldemort Slytherin era, like villain era. It's not cute.
His whole head is shaved, but he still has like the mustache and a little bit of goatee situation.
Yeah, it's so bad.
It was the Silk Way rally that he won. It's a marathon based rally event in Russia. And it takes place over 10 days and he won it. And there are pictures of him like, woohoo. But I just wonder if he'll ever come back.
I wonder how much money he made on that.
I know. But do you also hear he plans to sue Haas after losing his F1 seat?
For what? Discrimination?
Well, he blames cancel culture for why he was left out of the race, which is obvious that he would do that. But he says
Russia is canceled. I feel like everyone can agree that Russia is canceled.
He has a salary debt. He says that they have a salary debt to pay him.
Oh.
And he hasn't gotten all his money.
That I wouldn't be surprised by.
Me
neither. So they basically don't agree on, like, the terms of termination.
I don't think so.
Essentially. He thinks his contract should have been paid out because he thinks the firing was interesting. Interesting.
Mm. Those are all the headlines I have for you.
All right, so we're ready to get started on the race.
Yar. Let's do it.
Beautiful. All right, so we're here in France. Could be the last race here for the foreseeable future.
What was that? I saw that too. I didn't know what that meant.
When Kiara was on our podcast, she suggested, I was like, oh, Monaco, this might be the last year. And she was like, oh, I feel bad for Charles. Maybe he could have brought it home and then put Monaco back on the map. And I never thought about that. But I'm like, if Ocon and Perez were like, I mean, Pierre were 1-2 today for the two French drivers, I feel like that would have revived this yeah. track, no?
The one Maybe. Thing also that I noticed is that there's like four different French tracks. Like there's Le Mans, there's...
Yeah.
My French is so bad I couldn't even begin. But like there's a bunch of different yeah. French tracks. So even if it's the last one at Paul Ricard, maybe we mm-hmm. can still have one in France somewhere else. I don't know.
I think France needs a race for sure.
Me too.
And I think they will have one. Yeah, I think you're right that this, but I don't need to see this again. I feel bad though, because I feel like they did all of that painting last year for these special stripes that like
people go off
on and blah, 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 blah. And now like we're not going to see it ever again. And it also was an exciting race.
Yeah. Right?
Did you like
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this track. In the beginning, it was kind of boring to me, but like at the end, it definitely got cool. I was going to say, I wrote this down too. I was like, I'm visually arrested. This is visually arresting. The lines and stuff felt like I was looking at like some psychedelic imagery or something. It was really funny and fun.
The track was very hot today. Matthew McConaughey was there, which isn't he like that. Running for political office? I'm like, is he like, right? I thought he was running for something in Texas. I'm actually going to look that up right now.
I think
now,
he was sorry. Toying around with the idea of like governor.
Right. So it's like, is he as governor? Is this good for his campaign to be? Oh, okay. He decided not to run. But it's like, if he ever does want to hold a political office, should he be out in France suing this? I don't know.
It's fine. And people in Texas are not paying attention to this. So it's like, it's like apples and oranges, two completely different like people.
He of course looked so sexy. He looked tan. He looked like he was spending time in the south of France. Yeah, he looked good in that Mercedes garage.
Oh, he's in Mercedes too.
So people were the fan favorites for this weekend were Ferrari in the corners, obviously Rebel in the straights, So Fast in the straights. That was the, you know, that's the jeopardy there between those two front teams. Very costly 27-second pit stops. And I hate a long pit stop because I feel like that just affects the race so much. Like, people are scared to pit. You pit at the wrong time and it ruins the whole race. Like, I just can't stand a long pit stop. But those are a couple things. So most people started on the mediums and then they went to the hard tire to finish. I feel like most people adhere to that strategy. Not that exciting, except for the Haases, who decided to go on a two-stop and then regret it very, very shortly.
The safety car.
But, yeah. In terms of qualifying, both French drivers were out-qualified by their teammates, Alonso and Tsunoda. So Pierre was out in Q1. Ocon was out in Q2. Which is, Pierre has been doing so well this season, and in the past two races has been out so quickly, so early, and is also getting out-qualified by Tsunoda. I don't know what is going on. Especially to be in France and to do that, it's like, he's way more talented, but I'm minding my business. Interesting. Sainz was at the top of the charm charts with his new power unit, or his new, he took a new engine penalty. He like was going super fast. People were saying, oh, maybe the Ferrari engine made reliability upgrades, which means they can run it at a higher capacity, basically. But he was faster than his teammate all through qualifying, and it was really sad because he would have been really fast, but he literally started last. Big spin for Albon. Great laps for Kevin Magnussen and Yuki Tsunoda. They were, like, out driving the car. There was a bit of gamesmanship. So, like, since Sainz was going to be last anyway, he kind of sacrificed his lap to give Leclerc a tow, which was kind of cute.
Oh.
And then Norris was super fast. He split the two Mercedes. So it meant that Hamilton was up in fourth. Russell was in sixth. He was in fifth. And then starting the race in seventh was Alonso, eighth Tsunoda, and Ricardo ended up in 10th because it should have been Magnussen in 9th, but 9th, Magnussen got a lap time deleted. And what do you think of this? I just wanted to ask you about some of the qualifying rules. It's like, Magnussen got a lap time deleted and should have never ended up in Q3. But because of that, Ricardo never got to compete in Q3, if that makes sense. Like, if they had deleted his lap time earlier, Ricardo would have been able to drive in 10th. And maybe, you know, make up a couple places. But since they didn't make that call earlier, Ricardo was out. And then the best that they can do is, like, switch Magnussen and Ricardo in the standings. But Ricardo never gets to compete, really. Like, he never got to do his third lap, if that makes sense, his third set of laps. Is that fair?
I don't think so. Why was Magnussen's lap deleted? Did he go out of bounds or something?
Magnussen's, yeah. I believe so.
He exceeded track limits? Mm-hmm. That feels unfair to me.
I was going to say, during qualifying, they should have a rule. Like, you have to call it quicker. You have to call it quicker than that.
Yeah.
There's also another rule in qualifying that people don't like, which is, like, you can crash out. Like, let's say you're in first and you crash out. You can ruin qualifying for everyone else by, like, mm-hmm. being in first and also crashing out. And people are like, should you be allowed to do that? Like, should you be allowed to be in first and then make a mistake that causes a red flag for the session and keeps you in first or keeps you in second in, like, a mm-hmm. favorable position? I don't know, qualifying can get weird sometimes. But anyway, back to the race. Lewis immediately gets ahead of Perez, immediately, up into third. Alonso is up two places, gets ahead of Russell and Yuki. Yuki makes contact with Ocon and spins, which makes means that he's then in last, and it results in a 5-second penalty for Ocon. So, like, first few seconds of the race, it was just, like, penalty, boom, boom, boom. A lot was happening. Magnussen was up into 13th from 20th. It was crazy. It was literally a crazy, crazy start. And just in comparison, like, Magnussen was up to 13th. By lap three, he was in 12th. Like, he was going so fast. But Sainz, by lap three, was, like, I think maybe in 17th.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
Whatever. So then, obviously, like you said, the commentators start to focus a lot on a couple of drivers. They start focusing on Verstappen and Leclerc, but there's not much happening in the beginning with their race. Like, Verstappen just couldn't get ahead. Perez was struggling a bit. They were like, oh, is there something going on with his tires? But then they just kind of dropped that thread. This reminds me of that conversation we had where it's like, oh, there's nothing to, like, you don't know where to look this season. I feel like the commentators kind of suffer from that too. But the Haases started pitting super early. They were only people to be like, okay, this is going to be a two-stop. And to be fair, Magnussen had made up so many places that maybe I would have done that too. Like, maybe I would have considered that a smart race strategy. So in lap 9 and lap 10, Magnussen pits and then Mick right after.
I was going to say, in response to that, did you hear Gunter on the radio?
I did, and I was like, this is such a great change, and it's amazing. So funny. I thought it was amazing.
He didn't say much, though. No. Like, when they were like, do you know why they pit? I just was, like, waiting for a really good, clear explanation, and he kind of was like, I don't know. I was like, okay.
Cool. He was like, the tire degradation. He was like, I think he got on because they were making assumptions about why Haas pit the Haases. Like, they were like, oh, maybe it's due to tire degradation, and Gunther does not like when people underestimate those cars, and I feel like he hopped on to be like, it's not because of tire degradation, it was a real choice, because he sees that as an insult somehow. I think he's very defensive of his team, but anyways, Sainz puts on to Hearts and up into the points, and he gets past Ricardo into ninth. Max takes a lap 17 pit stop after using all of his tires and Leclerc's dirty air trying to get ahead. He finally has to pit, and Ferrari doesn't need to cover it off because they've got mediums on. The Hards are somewhere anyway. They're on the radio talking about the data, like, oh, the Hards are 0.2 seconds a lap, like, slower. Don't even worry about Verstappen pitting. It's fine. Leclerc is zooming. It's amazing news. And then lap 18, Leclerc crashes out of the French Grand Prix after a dominant pole position and leading so much of the race thus far.
It's getting to be too much now. Like, I kind of feel like there's times where I identify with your almost pessimism. Like, you'd be like, it was not that good. I was like, oh, yeah. This is a moment where I'm like, yo, Ferrari, I root for you guys. Like, I actually actively want you to win more than Red Bull. But I was just like, we can't keep doing this. And it was such a silly mistake. It wasn't an engine failure. It was his complete fault.
So you think it was his complete fault?
I do. And there has been
some speak of, he said it was his complete fault.
Kind of, yeah. He was like, it was my fault. Speak of, what was the issue? The rears?
Throttle, pedal, something. Same thing he was complaining about in that last race. Apparently, if someone said, oh, if he had that throttle pedal, like, he would have been able to reverse out of it, basically. But because of...
Oh, interesting. Like...
the steering, like, he kind of went into the wall in an awkward way. It did look like a driver error, so I didn't exactly agree with that, but I was just curious about his response, and he said it was his fault.
Yeah, he did say it was his fault, because I did hear the throttle thing. Damn. But it's like, what now? Why? And the screen,
that's really painful. I know. No. It's the fact that they pressed that button. It's like it's just the funniest thing ever to me that they pressed that button. Like,
he said he didn't know it was on. He said he didn't realize it was on this time. So I think it was an accident. Or maybe he's just saying that, but he was like,
that's not an accident. I feel like the one thing that is like ingrained in them is when that button is on and when it isn't. Because I have never heard a race. I think once I've heard a race radio where someone left it on and they weren't saying anything. And I think the team was like, hey, turn it off. Even.
Oh,
funny. Like, I think they were like, hey, your radio is on.
Interesting.
What'd you say?
No, I know. I just said that's interesting.
So I think it's pretty rare for someone to like trigger that button. Also, for it to be on while he's literally screaming, it's like it could be an accident any other moment, but it's definitely when you crash and the team asks, are you okay? You hit the button and you say something, and he decided to say that, which is a meme now.
It's relatable. It's so relatable. I always want these drivers to react more and more honestly, because if it were me, I would be sobbing in the car. I would be hitting things. I would be yelling, screaming. So it's actually very refreshing to hear him scream, because there's no other response to that moment. This is it. You got to scream.
Yeah. Yeah. I am going to be going to a McDonald's drive-thru one day and they're going to say the ice cream machine is broken. And I'm going to be like, literally, like, if he looked up the way you just looked up, that would make this moment so much funnier. I need to see what exactly his eyes were doing in that helmet. If he like threw his head back and kind of shook it, it would make it so good. You know, he
like slapped your head like,
yeah. Could you imagine? He's like banging his head against the car.
These are the moments of drama I live for. It's like, show me more meltdowns.
Me fucking too. All right, so then obviously everybody starts pitting like crazy because it's a safety car, and literally everyone in the race pits except for the Haases, who already pit, and I think Verstappen, who also accidentally already pit, maybe Perez, I don't know, but like mostly everybody is pitting, and so it's a bad day for Haas, because then immediately, like, regretful decision, they pitted too early and they could have gotten this free stop and everybody gets a much cheaper stop. But in that, while that's happening, Carlos has this really unsafe release. It looked really bad, right?
Yeah, it was bad. Was like, and who was it that he almost hit? Who was behind him?
Ocon. I believe it was Ocon.
An Alpine, I think. But they said that a mechanic has a button that releases the car. I didn't know that. I don't know what the mechanics of that are, but...
That's new.
Yeah, that's new?
It's a new safety thing, because apparently... Not that F1 needed it, but I think this happens in NASCAR a lot more, because there's not like a more put together system where drivers will just kind of like, basically pit stops were happening a little bit too fast and the FIA slowed them down by like, okay, there's a process to this, and like someone has to actually like press a button,
release,
or like do something. There has to be something on the team. I think there's some variability as to how they do it, but they have to like do an extra final step to like let the person go. But that guy released him too early.
I think so. And it was interesting because the commentators that I were here was listening to was like, someone has to take responsibility for that. But not in a bad way, but they're just yikes. Like, they're pointing out that the pit stop is a very...
It's someone.
Yeah, someone's in control.
Right, the buck stops with someone in that pit stop.
Exactly.
Also really sad, because that panic, I would so do it too, because he had a slow pit stop anyway. There was like something going on with his pit stop.
He had a penalty,
and it's just
didn't
a lot
he?
To manage.
Oh, that was after. No, that
wasn't.
Time.
That was after.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it looked like he was serving a penalty, because there was something going on with his pit stop. And I think it wasn't that bad because it was during a virtual safety car. But I feel like that guy was probably like, as soon as we get it, just press the button. And wasn't also thinking of like everyone else who's pitting. Mm-hmm. It's also not very normal for everyone to be in that lane. You know, like,
it was very congested. It's
pretty empty. Yeah, it was a super congested lane.
But maybe that's part of it. Like, part of it is because of how long it was too. Like, we talked about this, but like the actual length of the pit lane or whatever is different. So I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, so even though Carlos is up into fifth, he like now has to serve this penalty. And up ahead of him are Russell, Perez, Hamilton, and Verstappen, respectively. Verstappen being first. Next, Zhao causes a collision with Mick. Zhao gets a 5-second penalty.
Mm-hmm.
There's this moment with Gasly where he takes a late lunge on, I don't know who it was. Was it an Alpine? Maybe it was Ocon. And then he has to go around the bollards. He like had to go spin off, and then he had to go in the zigzag motion.
I didn't
like,
see
if
this.
You spin off in a certain area. Okay, maybe they didn't show it on your broadcast, but George Russell is doing a good job of defending against Sainz. Sainz is kind of stuck behind there for a little bit of a while, but then finally Sainz overtakes, so he's up into fourth. Magnussen and Latifi get into it in the back there. But here's another blunder for Ferrari. Sainz is on plan D at this point, which is like, he shouldn't even have to remember a plan, but he's on plan D. We already talked about it in the last podcast. But his team literally tells him to pit while he's literally overtaking Perez. And did you also hear that in this race, Sainz was like taking control of the team and being like, okay, so what? If we go first, then that means this. And
yes, just telling them what to
do.
Yeah.
Even I gave him credit for that in Monaco because I was just like, I don't think that it's just that Charles is bad at strategy. I also think that Sainz is a daddy of the team and that the strongest drivers are also keeping their minds on the race and not thinking that the people on the pit lane know best, which is what Sainz brings to the table.
They were talking about that because they told Sainz that he would have to serve a 5-second penalty for something, but I think, I don't know if they used the wrong terminology, and Sainz was like, that's not what I'm serving a penalty for. Or like he corrected them somehow. And the commentators were like, you have to be like giving him correct information. They're like, you can't as an engineer, yeah, race engineer, be like saying willy nilly shit. It's not even right half the time.
No, they're so nervous, but that's the culture of fear. Like they knew, I just know for a fact that that team was freaking out that whole day. Like the fact that they were the cause of his 5-second penalty and releasing him in an unsafe way. The fact that, you know, it wasn't their fault, now we know, but Leclerc spun out earlier. Like, they were probably freaking out in the pit wall. Everybody knew somebody was getting fired. Everybody was sweating. Like, Ferrari is not in good shape.
And to watch him, like, be doing this overtake on Perez, which is a tricky overtake. It wasn't something that, I never know how to describe these things, but it wasn't, like, a very easy maneuver. I don't know if it was around a corner. I don't remember, but
yeah,
it was
He had to, like, catch him out on the outside, and then, he had to do a trick.
It was a really difficult line, I guess, is what I mean to say, when he was overtaking, and it's like, are you watching the race? Like, don't you see he's in the middle of something? Like, I would not want to have people in my ear like pit. And he ended up not pitting at that time. He pitted later, but even still, like,
he was like, not now.
Not now. What are you doing? Why would I pit at this time? It's like 10 laps left.
It's giving very much. They're having arguments amongst themselves and then panic because it's like, okay, now that we have a decision, let's say it right now, and like they're not calm enough to be considering the whole race. I don't know what's good with their analytics, because I know that like a team like Mercedes is running simulations, so I think that they just have a computer that's just telling them at any given moment this is the best strategy, and then maybe there's a person who overrides that sometimes or something, but like, what is going on at Ferrari that they don't have a process to like how decisions get made? And even like, is it that random when you tell them to pit that you're not even, oh my God, I can't. It's so embarrassing.
It's very messy.
It's like they're at a mom and pop shop.
I know.
I can't explain it, but it's like a ghetto, almost like, why are they, it's just a mistake.
I'm watching them on the pit lane too when Leclerc crashed out, and I was like kind of looking for reactions, and I didn't really see very much, but it reminded me a lot of when I was a hostess, random, but when I was a hostess and I was like, something up, and the way that I would panic would be so, it would feel like ice in my veins and like so internal, but like people on the outside would never see, but on the inside I was like shaking and quaking, and I just could imagine everybody on that pit lane has that like ice feeling inside them, like, oh shit.
Yeah, like
you can't even like externalize it, it's just like
yeah. freeze. Okay.
It's like a special kind of panic.
Yeah.
It's so next level.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then I don't even know where we are right now in Ferrari. George attempts an overtake on
Sergio.
George attempts an overtake on Perez and causes a little bit of drama. Yeah. Yeah, Sergio.
I forgot that was his first name.
And causes a little bit of drama. He's like fighting for his life to get into fifth, and he eventually does. Toto had a daddy moment where he came on the radio and was just like, put your head down. You can do this, George. Literally calm down. Zhao out randomly, Ferrari engine problem. Probably should have taken a penalty like the rest of the Ferrari people today. And then, but I thought it was cute. There was a virtual safety car and George Russell overtook really quickly. And people were like, ooh, like he just literally caught Perez out. Like it was a super embarrassing overtake because it was just a race start. And George just had the upper hand. He like slowed down. You have to keep your speeds within a certain delta. So he was really smart about slowing down right as the car. Yeah, I thought that was cool. And then the end of the race comes. I don't have any more big events. But do you want to hear the final standings of just like first through fifth?
Please tell me.
So first, Max Verstappen. Second, Hamilton. In third, we have George Russell. In fourth, we have Sergio Perez. Fifth, Carlos Sainz. Sixth, Alonso. We have Norris right behind splitting the Alpines. And so on and so forth.
Thank you for that, Zaylee.
I got tired after eighth and I just said so on and so forth.
No more.
Yeah.
I think it was a fun race. I think super I was fun. Very, very saddened to hear about, to watch frickin' Charles go out again.
I felt bad for him, but Mercedes is my team. And so that's why I'm not, it's more of, I feel bad, but I'm just like, like, it just makes me tick. It just tickles me. Like just the whole reliability thing of it all. There will never be a reliability issue that won't make me giggle. It's so funny and silly. Like it's so silly to watch them go out like that. Did you have a favorite race radio?
There was one from Lance Stroll that they were telling him. I actually have a few, but I'll do the Lance Stroll one. Let me find it exactly.
Okay.
I liked Stroll when he was in 10th and they were telling him his distances between other people. He was like, yes, yes, leave me alone. Which I just thought was funny. There was another one from Alonso.
Same. Oh, I know.
Leave me alone.
Oh my God. I just went to kill their tires. Fernando Alonso, like, come, like, you, he's are funny. You literally, is he just leaning into being a demon?
Yes.
Is he just leaning into being the worst person on earth? Is he's that what this
a
is?
Demon. He's literally a demon and. I don't
say
know.
What happened. Say what happened.
Basically, I wrote this one down too. They were telling him also they're like the two people behind him were getting close. I don't remember who it was. I think it was the two McLarens. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I want them behind me so that they can burn up their tires. That's basically what he said. which is very
and in
villain.
The end, I know. I'm like annoyed by him, especially since the people behind him, like, does he understand that McLarens are very well liked? Does he understand? I guess a lot of people like Fernando and his base is just that strong. But I'm like, as a racing car driver, if Lando Norris is behind me and I understand that he's extremely popular, I just feel like I would hesitate to like shit on beloved drivers. Yeah, yeah. And also, I don't think he's outsmarting anybody. Like, I don't think he's outsmarting anybody, but everyone knows that their tires will degrade if they're in dirty air. So, you know, the drivers behind him are like gonna mitigate for that, but instead he's like, oh, I know, I'm just starting to, like, I'm doing my strategy, my evil strategy. It's like, shut up, Fernando. Like,
did you have one?
Best commentary? Honestly, mine was the breathing, and no, I love that. I'm gonna be using that in my daily life. I also, this was a commentary thing, but Ted Kravitz, please come in. It's just so iconic that Ted doesn't come in. And there's all this tea about Ted almost getting fired for not being the best commentator and drinking at work and blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny every time they call him in and Ted is not there. Ted is like, I'm sorry, I was just replacing my battery pack.
Yeah, the battery.
Sorry about that. It's like, you are on national television. You are literally on live television. Millions of people are watching. Your only job is to be listening to what they say so that when they said, Ted, will you please come in? And it sounds like he only has a couple opportunities to do it, too, is the thing. Like, I think that this is a special thing when they call Ted in, because during the race, he maybe speaks, like, twice on his best days. And I feel like they're lessening it because he's not there. But they're like, Ted Kravitz, do come in. It's a bit slow for Ted. Like, where is he, Ted? It's a bit slower than usual. Ted, can you hear us? Ted is like, oh God, it's just so embarrassing. I just feel for him. I feel like a lot of F1 is a workplace drama, and this just adds to that feeling.
Do you think they're aware of that? And would that change how they acted if they knew it was kind of like The Office?
It is kind of like season one and two, even two of Drive to Survive was like The Office, and I think they became aware of that and like wanted to change it. All right, I'm ready for my game. I'm ready to play the game.
Okay.
All right. So for our game today, it's two truths and a lie. Everybody should know this game, but there are two things that are going to say are true and one is false, and Maya has to guess which one, and I'm going to do the same with Maya's things. Okay. Valkyrie has a 140 race weekend streak. Like, he's 140 race weekends of never being out in Q1. That is first thing. Second thing. Valtteri Bottas knows the size of a raccoon penis in millimeters. Third thing. Valtteri Bottas was in the army from 2008 to 2009.
What? Okay, can I start? So from the top, I think the first thing is true. I just feel like I've heard that.
Uh-huh.
That's my thought. The second one, uh-huh, I think is not true because I've seen that interview and it's a duck penis and not, it's like something else's, uh-huh, penis. And then the third thing.
So that's your lie.
I think that's a lie.
Okay.
That's a lie, is it?
He's been in the army.
Okay. I didn't say that was a lie.
I'm asking you, he's been in the army? That's the truth?
I guess. I feel like the duck penis is wrong.
You're right. It's not a duck, it's a beaver.
Oh, okay, okay. I knew it was some kind of aquatic animal.
I was wondering if I was going to trip you up with the animal, but isn't it so random that he was in the military?
Yes.
Mandatory military service and conscription. Every Finn has to do it. Finnish Army, 2008 to 2009.
Good for
it
the
It really
Finns.
Must unite the country. I cannot believe those universal drafts. Like, everyone must be really broed up and very patriotic. Dead ass. Like, it must really make people, like, I say Zionist in terms of Israel, because I think that's part of why Israel is so, like, tight and together, because of that service and, like, yeah, everyone in Finland, like all males in Finland at the age of 18, he had to do it.
Crazy. I mean, yeah. Can you imagine if we were in college, like, did you also, like, go to the barracks or whatever? Yeah. Like, we would be so much different.
Apparently, during his time, he served with distinction in leadership, earning him the rank of Lance Corporal. How do you say that? Corporal?
Yeah, I think so.
In recognition from his fellow servicemen, having been voted top soldier upon completion of his service.
Low-key, I would like to be in the army with Valtteri. I think he would be a good leader. I think
me
he
too.
Would.
No, literally, me too. All right, your turn.
Okay, this one is a... I'm going to do a team principle theme, two truths and a lie.
Okay.
All right, so thing number one. Gunter Steiner has never watched an episode of Drive to Survive.
Okay.
Thing number two. Jost Capito takes a shot of Jägermeister before every race. Thing number three. Christian Horner was the youngest team principal to win a championship. Helming the team.
Okay. Thing number three is true. Christian Horner was the youngest team principal to win a championship. Gunter never having watched an episode of Drive to Survive, I just cannot believe that.
Okay.
I don't know. Why if not? I just have a bad perception of Gunter, but like, he has to have watched it.
Yeah.
He has to have seen it. So I feel like Max is the only person who's like, oh, I don't watch it or whatever. So I guess what has to be true is the Jägermeister. Did you say, is that what it's called? Jägermeier?
Yeah, it's like some kind of drink.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, two things are true.
Two things are true and one thing is a lie.
So I guess I think the Jägermeier is a, I guess I think Gunther is a lie, even though the Jägermeier being true would be crazy. But I guess I think that Gunther not having seen F1 is a lie. I mean, Drive to Survive is a lie.
Mm-hmm. That's true. He says he's never.
That's true. He hasn't seen
allegedly,
it.
Allegedly. He's like, I've never seen an
episode.
Yeah,
allegedly. Allegedly. Because I think he's seen it. That tripped me up, though. So, okay. So, my turn. All right. George Russell has led 71 laps in his career. George Russell's father went to Harvard. George Russell dated Nick DeVry's sister.
All right, off rip, I'm going to assume the sister one is true just because I feel like there's something very incestual about this sport. Here's the thing, Zaylee. You always throw in numbers and names to, like, throw you, to throw you away. So that's what's confusing about it. So it could be that he dated someone else's sister, not Nick DeFry's sister. So, but I'm still going to stick with the fact that I think it, I'm going to just say true on that because that's just my gut feeling. Okay. The 71 laps, I don't know if he's led 71 laps. That sounds about right. Led laps, wait. Okay. Led laps of the Grand Prix, the whole thing? In his career?
Yeah, cumulative, how many laps he's led, he's been in first for. 71 laps total.
I think that's too many. And what's the second one?
George Russell's father went to Harvard.
Could be. I'm going to say
the lie.
I think the first one was a lie.
71 laps in his career is true. The really? Lie is that he went to Harvard because his father went to Dartmouth. So I switched out to colleges.
Oh. Is his father American? No.
No. Obviously. He's not American.
I kind of like that he went
George
to Dartmouth.
George is so British. Yeah, isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. I hope there's no English Dartmouth. I assume, though, that Dartmouth, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right, your turn.
Okay. Okay. So this is a Price is Right themed Two Truths and a Lie, Zaylee. So I'm going to give you the prices of these things. Two of them are correct and one of them is wrong. Okay. So we have a Lego technical model of a McLaren Formula One race car for 2022.
Which I want, by the way.
It's 1,400 pieces.
Okay.
And the potential price, could be right, could be wrong, is $213.
Okay.
We have an F1 2022 PS4 game. So, like, the game that you put whatever in the console. And the price is $70. And then we have a Valtteri Bottas Funko Pop that is $11.99.
What the f*** is a Funko Pop?
Google it. They're so cute. Wait, don't you can't Google it because then you'll know the prices. Okay, the
it's
Funko Pop. I don't know if you've seen
them. It's a little doll with a head that, like, is big.
Yeah, the head is square. You know, it's like kind of like an animated version of stuff. It's so cute. I want a Funko Pop so bad.
All right, because I don't know anything about video games, I am hesitant to confirm or deny the price of a fucking video game. I feel like it's almost too cheap, though, just because it's, like, a very, very recent video game, and I feel like people spend more than 70 on it. The Funko Pop could also be a bit cheap, like, a bit shy. Like, I feel like the Funko Pop should be $15.99, but maybe since it's Valtteri Bottas and they probably made too many, kind of brought the cost down. Like, I feel like Lewis's Funko Pop might go for, like, $23.99, but $11.99 for Valtteri, like, it feels like I could find that on Amazon, maybe. And so the Lego model seems right to me. I don't have a kid, but...
213.
Yeah, for 1,400 pieces, $213 feels fine. And it's also pretty exclusive. So I'm going to say the lie is the PS4 F1 game.
You're right. But it's actually less. It was $59.99.
Oh, I thought it would be more expensive. All right, last one.
Okay.
This is all about Günther Steiner.
Okay.
Günther Steiner worked as a technical director for Red Bull for 3 years. Günther knew at the beginning of his career that he wanted to be a team principal. Günther moved to the U.S. to live with his wife and children in 2008. One of those things is a lie.
I think... Damn. What's number two again?
Günther knew from the beginning of his career that he wanted to be a team principal.
I feel like at first I was like, that's definitely true. But then I was like, maybe not actually. I could see him having stumbled upon team principalitry. Accidentally.
Of all the team principals, he does seem like the most accidental team principal.
He is like the most accident. I mean, I'm telling you.
Casting the show.
No, I'm saying like in his team radio, I'm like, what was he going to say? I was excited for his moment to shine. He's like, well, we don't know. I was like, okay, like, give me something, Günther. He is the best. I actually love him. He moved in 2008, but that is before Taz was in the... Wait, it's so hard to imagine Team Principal living in New York. Or, I mean, in the States. Maybe the moving to the States.
Okay, no, you were right. Gunther did not know from the beginning.
Stuck with my gut.
Y'all could have seen the way Maya slapped her thigh just now. It was like the most aggressive arm movement I've seen. In so- Maya doesn't generally move fast. I always used to say, I never see Maya run. Like, I remember seeing her run in high school and being like, oh my God, she's running.
So true. I saw one
of my roommates run earlier for the first time and I was like, ah, like they're running. But like, anyway, Maya doesn't move very quickly. So to see that hand just like... lift and like slap her thigh like should have went with my gut on that one. No, yeah, Gunther was like, I don't even know if I want to be team principal now. Like, I never wanted to be team principal. Which respect. Is a classic Gunther thing to say. He's like,
respect,
I don't even know if I still want this job, and I have it.
And that was our game, folks. I'm glad you stuck around for that. Let us know if something really got you. You got really thrown off by one of our questions.
Yep, for sure. We're going to hit you next week if we get an intern.
Oh, yeah.
What is the Please next message race? Us.
Right. Where's the next race? The next race is the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Hungaroo!
In Hungary. So
exactly
that'll be...
a week. 6 a.m.
Yes, in a week.
On my side. Or maybe 3 a.m. on my time. But Hungaroo ring. Pretty exciting. I'm excited to see. I think that in the next few weeks, we're going to get more news about contracts. We've been getting it, but I just like, I wish there was some exciting news about the state of Ricardo. It sounds like he's staying, but
he's staying. I think he's going to be on for another year. I don't know any longer than that. He definitely doesn't have like a Lando special for like 10 years. But he's this last race was actually pretty good for him. So who knows like what his performance might be like by the end of the season.
The fact that Thanksgiving next year is going to be, which is like towards the end of the season, is going to be in Las Vegas. I feel like it's going to feel really big to Daniel. I feel like it's going to feel like a send off, basically. Like if I were him, maybe I would stick my heel in the ground about staying another year because America, he has this relationship with Las Vegas. I feel like his fans are going to go crazy and it's like pretty late in the season. I feel like it'll be like his last hurrah, basically.
TBT. TBD. That's more what I mean.
All right. Love y'all.
Until Bye, next time. Folks. See you soon. Goodbye.